Reading first of all from the book of Psalms, chapter 46 and verse 4. Beautiful statement. And it says, there is a river, Psalms 46 and 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the tabernacle of the Most High. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad. God always makes glad. The city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. St. John chapter 7. St. John chapter 7, beginning with verse 37, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Revelation 22, last chapter, the great book of Revelation, verse 1. And he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I want to use for a subject today, preaching a few minutes, the river of God. Every single one of these instances in the Word of God that I've just read to you. The river that fed the underground streams for the earthly city of Jerusalem since time immemorial was a type of the Holy Ghost. John, when Jesus spake in the book of John, when he said, let him come unto me and drink, this was again talking about the Holy Ghost. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 1, that river is a type and shall ever be that shall flow in the new Jerusalem in the perfect age to come. A type of the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel chapter 47, I'll get to that in just a moment. But the river that Ezekiel saw issuing out from the temple, the south side of the altar, is a type of the Holy Spirit. The river of God, would you bow your heads? Lord, bless what we would say. Help us and anoint us. And we pray one more time because we sense in our spirit that we must. We sense, oh God, that the enemy, the evil one, would try to hinder, but he will not be successful. The seed will take root and grow. It will not dry, it will not be dissipated or thrown aside, but it will take root and grow. And I ask you, even today, in the name of Jesus, do it again. By the mighty power of God, and everyone said amen and amen. Francis and I have been in evangelistic work for over 20 years now, full time, without any break, without any stoppage. Donnie has been raised in church, and now his little daughter is raised in old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival services. I think back, we started, and our office was in the trunk of an automobile. You know what I mean, preachers? Then the Lord helped us to get a little U-Haul trailer, a little tiny thing. I remember we had a wreck once in Georgia. The Spirit of God, I won't tell the story, but it moved upon me so much, and God literally by a miracle saved us in reference to this wreck. The trailer, little old trailer, turned all the way over, never even came loose from the hitch. We went from that to a larger trailer, and then from that to a Dodge maxi van, and from that to a big double-decker Greyhound bus, from that to a big tractor trailer, and from that to two tractor trailers, and from that to three tractor trailers. I heard a preacher of the gospel say one time years ago, whatever you need to carry out the gospel of Jesus Christ, be it a donkey or an airplane, God will give it to you. And I believe that. But we've been in this way a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I believe actually that great things that we have never believed could even begin to take place are going to happen. I sense that in my spirit. And back in those days when we first started, I remember the first so-called big church that I preached in. It was in a certain southern city. It was a big building. It seated 1,000 people. And I remember at that time, I thought it was monstrous. I thought surely all the people in the states of Louisiana, Georgia, Texas, and California could have been put in it. And I started that meeting, and I was impressed by my surroundings. Have you ever been that way? And I felt that I had to do and conduct and act like I thought that preachers acted like that preached in buildings of this nature. So for a week, I stood behind the pulpit, put four fingers in my pocket, and draped the thumb over the side. And I moaned when I preached. I didn't dare raise my voice because they didn't do it that way in this church. The few faithful saints that came sat there and would nod. If you're having trouble sleeping, don't take no dose. No, that's not right. Sominex. Don't take Sominex. Go to church. Put you to sleep. Why in the world does the work of God in many circles have to be so everlastingly boring? Oh. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. I remember the pastor would sit right on my front left, and there was plenty of places you could have shot a shotgun and hit a few people. He would go to sleep every night. Every single night, his head would drop down to his chin, would drop on his chest, and he would slide down in the pew, and he would go sound asleep. I would hear him gently breathing in the key of A. And I'd go out and pray and cry and sob before God, and I'd say, Lord, well, we've got to have something. I can't stand this. I can't stand it. I can't stand it because, you see, very influential people belong to this church. Millionaire contractors belong to this church. Dignitaries belong to this church. One of the richest men in the city, he built the thing, belonged to this church. And I was impressed by my surroundings, and I prayed, God, you got to do something. He said, preach on the Holy Spirit. I said, I can't do that, Lord. If I do that, I'll get happy and I'll shout. And Lord, they couldn't stand that. They don't do that. Why, Dr. Pastor, I won't call his name. What would he think? Lord said he won't know. He's asleep. I don't blame him. If I'd have been him, I'd have gone to sleep too. I don't blame him at all. I'd go back to church at night, preach, cry, and do the best I could standing like a mummy. Somebody said, well, you don't have to do all this running around. No, you don't. I know that. You can get to Europe without taking a boat or a plane. The swimming's good, but it's long, and there are a lot of sharks along the way. And I'd go back and pray, and the Lord said, preach on the Holy Spirit. One morning I said, God, my revival is dying. He said, what revival? You hadn't had one yet to die. Finally, I made up my mind, I'm going to preach on the Holy Spirit. I went in and changed my mail. I told them to send the mail someplace else because I knew they were going to shut it down at night. And I went up there and I announced my text and I started preaching on the Holy Spirit. And there is something about the Holy Ghost, the third person of the triune Godhead, that emphasizes joy. He is joy. Show me a preacher. Show me a church. Show me a people that serves God that do not have the Holy Spirit. And I don't care how educated and refined and cultured and religious they are. They are dead, 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 dead. And understand what I'm talking about. When I talk about joy, I'm not talking about Pentecostal calisthenics. I'm not talking about displays of emotionalism. You may be. Well, every one of us are emotional. You may be emotional. You may shout and raise your hands, praise God, and dance in the Spirit. But that's a result of something. You understand? That's not the essence of it. That is the result of something. When you touch an electric line and the electricity goes through you, you're not jumping around because you've got electricity in you. You're jumping around because it came from another source and it hit you. Glory to God. Praise God. That source of joy, that's what puts the life in this living for God. The mighty power of the Holy Ghost. And I started preaching that night on the Holy Spirit, and sure enough, I got happy. I got happy, and oh, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't plan to do it. I didn't know I was going to do it. But there was a railing right in front of the platform. There was a railing about yay high. And when I came to myself, I had leaped over that platform, was out there in the middle of the aisle. And my feet had no sooner touched the floor than the power of God hit that congregation, and it hit that pastor. He awakened. People started praising God and worshiping God, and deacons came awake all over the place. And that pastor got up and got on a bicycle and started riding all around that church. I didn't see the bicycle, but he looked just like he was riding one. I mean, with his doctoral educated knowledge and all. I thought, Lord, look at him. He said, well, praise God. Without me giving an altar call, without me asking people to come to Jesus, folk begin to get out of the seats and come down the aisles weeping and sobbing as the power of God began to move upon them. They begin to come as the Spirit of God dealt with sinners and backsliders and lukewarm Christians. Oh, listen to me, neighbor. We've got too many dead preachers preaching too many dead sermons to too many dead congregations. We need the life of the Holy Ghost in the choir. We need the life of the Holy Ghost in the preacher. We need the life of the Holy Ghost in the pew. We need the life of the Holy Ghost in our very being. We need it in our praying. We need it in our coming. We need it in our going. And it would solve your nervous breakdowns. It would solve your physical problems. It would solve your labor problems. It would solve your spiritual problems. The power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. People got saved. Oh, they got gloriously saved. And the revival started that night. People got saved. Folk got filled with the Spirit. I remember two ladies. They were kneeling right down below me right there. Two lovely ladies. They instantly, almost simultaneously, God filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in other tongues. Just like that. That big multi-million dollar contractor that had built that big mausoleum, he jumped up out there and ran down that aisle. Weighed about 260 pounds. Stood about 6 feet 4 inches tall. He ran up on the platform and came toward me. And those days I weighed about 140 pounds. I thought, Lord, here he comes like a freight train. I mean, lights wide open, engine going. He hit me. He grabbed me up and picked me up and shook me like a bulldog would shake a little terrier. And I looked at his face. It was illuminated with God's glory, tears running down his cheeks. He said, "Brother Swagger, we hadn't had anybody saved in our church in over 2 years. We hadn't had anybody filled with the Holy Ghost in over 2 years. Listen to those ladies down there. They're speaking in other tongues as Jesus just filled them with the Spirit. The Spirit of God has come back. He's come back. Let me tell you, this is the life of our churches. This is the life, and you can't regiment him. You cannot tell him now, you can work now and we'll have the rest of it. He won't do it that way. He's got to have it from A to Z. And I want to tell you, when you go to church, instead of meeting out in front and talking about baseball teams and football teams and golf scores and fishing holes, if you'll go to the prayer room in your church and talk to Jesus a little bit and come out primed in the service, your preacher will preach like he's never preached before, and the glory of God will fall like never before. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Hallelujah to God. I believe that the Holy Spirit is the prime mover of the work of God. He has to be. He is God. He's just as much God as God the Son. He's just as much God as God the Father. Everything that we get is of the Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit. Remember that. It's of the Father. It's through the Son. And it's by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is on this earth. Now I want to just lay down a little preliminary fact. I hadn't started preaching yet. I'm just kind of finding a getting in place here. Somebody said, "Brother Swaggart, do you place very much significance in being baptized in the Holy Ghost. The more I preach and live for God, the more significance I attach to it. It is a must. You will never be what you ought to be. You will never be what you should be. You will never be what you can be without the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He, in essence, told the disciples in that first chapter of Acts and the people listening to him, don't go build churches, don't go hold revivals, do not go witness to the lost, don't go sing songs or do anything until you first go and be endued with power from on high. That's how important that it is. I can listen to a preacher preach 3 minutes and tell whether he's filled with the Holy Ghost or not. It's just like you can sense it. Somebody said, "Well, you're talking about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, aren't you?" Yes, I am. I speak in tongues every day of my life. And a lot of folk get a little bit confused. They think the tongues are the Holy Spirit. They aren't. When you walk into your house at night and you flick on the switch and the lights come on, that switch isn't the power plant. But without the switch, the power plant ain't going to give you any light. You listening to what I'm talking about? And speaking in other tongues, and it was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12, that with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak unto this people, and yet they will not accept it. It was prophesied that he would do it, and most of the church world would reject it. That's what he said. But also he said, "In the last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." And thank God, as I stand here right now, it's difficult to go in any church, be it Catholic or Protestant, in any city in the United States or most anywhere in the world that talks about Christianity, but somebody in that church has been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. God is filling Baptists, God is filling Methodists, God is filling Catholic, God is filling Presbyterians, and even some Pentecostals with the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, "Do I have to speak in tongues to be saved?" No, 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 no. Speaking in tongues doesn't save you. Seeing visions do not save you. Having dreams do not save you. You don't get saved any of those things, as wonderful as they are. You get saved by accepting Jesus as your own personal Savior. You can do it at home, on a street corner, on a streetcar, in a barbershop, in church, or in your living room, or on a job. Just say, Lord, I confess you and I believe it, and it's done. The miracle of redemption. You say, well, when I get saved, you mean I get more saved when I get filled with the Holy Spirit? No. You can't get more saved. I don't care what you do. You're just as saved the moment you come to Jesus as you will be a million years from today. You're just as saved and redeemed that moment that Jesus comes into your heart, whenever it was or is, as you would be if you received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and had visions and dreams and healed the sick and cast out devils and all of that. What I'm talking about doesn't get you more saved. It's no such thing as one Christian being more saved than another. That doesn't happen. You say, well, why do I need it then? If I don't have to have it to get to heaven, that's the secret. Getting saved gets you ready for heaven. You're just as ready for heaven when you get saved as you'll ever be. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is not to help you to go to heaven. A lot of Christians think it is. It's not. Getting saved gets you ready for heaven. You say, well, Jimmy Swaggart, why do I want it then? Well, honey, if you're planning on getting carried out of here this afternoon, you may not need it too much. But if you plan on living in this world any time at all and facing the demons and the devils of darkness and the powers of hell, you're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost to help you to live the kind of life you ought to live and be what you ought to be and do what you ought to do in Jesus. Glory to God. My Lord, that's good preaching. If you're going to live here, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to help you witness. You need the Holy Spirit to help you love Jesus more. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to understand that Bible more. You need the Holy Spirit to give you joy. You need the Holy Spirit to give you life. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to understand, to know, and to do, and to act as you ought to act as a Christian. Oh, but Brother Swaggart, I know some folk that have this that act weird. I do too. But think what they'd act like if they didn't have it. About all of us have acted pretty peculiar at one time or the other. The Lord's working on us. Give Him time. Praise God. All right, let me start preaching now. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the tabernacles of the Most High. The Holy Ghost has always been here. Not in the same capacity that He's here today, but He's always been here. Naaman caught a glimpse of it when he washed in old muddy Jordan. It wasn't those muddy waters of Jordan that healed Naaman of leprosy. It was the power of the Spirit of God. John caught a glimpse of it when he was baptizing in the river Jordan for repentance of sin. Moses caught a glimpse of it when he faced that Red Sea. Joshua caught a glimpse of it when he faced the Jordan River and when he faced the city of Jericho. The Holy Ghost would come down and move upon this one and move upon that one. They tell me in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, many years ago, the inhabitants of that little city got up out of their beds early one morning. And there was a phenomenon that had taken place that made Ripley's, believe it or not, cutting Highway 1 right in two. It just cut it in two. Those inhabitants of that little town went to bed. There was no river there. They got up the next morning. There was a big river that literally cut the highway in two and flowed into the ocean. Now, what had happened was that river had been flowing underground for all of those years. You couldn't see it, but it was there. But it finally ate away the last crust. And there it was, beautiful, observant, and clear. That's the way the Holy Spirit has been. He's moved all through time. When God made these worlds in the beginning, He did it. He did it through Jesus Christ, but by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Spirit breathed, the Spirit helped, the Spirit carried it out. The Holy Ghost has always been here, but 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, He quit flowing underground and started flowing for all that would thirst to come and drink of that life-giving stream. Now I want to show you this afternoon the source of the river and the course of the river and the force of this river. Turn with me to Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in your Bibles. Chapter 47, and let us read. And this is what it says. Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. Now this temple he's talking about is the temple that will be erected during the millennial reign. For the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. The source of this mighty Holy Ghost river is the throne of God from the altar. In Revelation it said, I saw a river proceeding out from the throne of God. Here it said it came from under the altar. Every time you read in this Bible about an altar except a heathenistic altar, it represents Calvary. The altar always is a type of Calvary. You have the Holy Ghost today because of Calvary. It would not have been possible for one to receive the Holy Ghost had Jesus not died on Calvary and risen from the dead. But thank God His precious blood cleansed us that we may become a fit habitation for the Spirit of God. So the source of that river is the altar. The source is the throne of God. That's where it comes from. And I want to jar you this afternoon, and listen to me closely. I guess that every periodical almost written in the religious world crosses my desk. I get them from every source known to man. And I read a lot of them. I'll scan through them. And my blood turns cold and I tremble inside when I'll read of preachers that will speak of the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost. And they will talk of speaking in tongues as if though it was nothing but gibberish. As if though it was nothing but jabber. As if though it was nothing but incoherent babble and make fun of it. I was listening to the radio the other day, and I heard a preacher speak so horribly of the Holy Ghost that I turned cold all over. I mean, I literally was cold. Chill bumps broke out all over me. I firmly believe he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. What are you saying? The mighty power of the Holy Ghost, the glory of Almighty God, is not to be spoken of lightly. He is not to be spoken of lightly. And it turns me cold all over when I hear anyone speaking evil or speaking unintelligently or speaking haphazardly about the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. You are playing with fire. You are literally playing with fire, because Jesus said, if you speak a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven you. But if you speak a word against the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. And I want to say something else. If you don't believe what I'm talking about, I'm going to still love you. If you say, Brother Swaggart, I believe in getting saved, but I don't believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, you'd better let it stop there. You'd better not say anything about it, because this didn't start with man. It didn't start with a person. It issues out from the throne of God and from the altar of God Almighty. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Its source is the throne. I heard a preacher the other day, pastored one of the biggest churches in this nation. I read what he said, and it chilled my blood. I was to call his name, everyone in this building would recognize it. He made his statement and said that
If this is biblical incorrect, I am not a Christian. That's a dangerous thing to say. From that moment, I have watched that preacher make one blunder after the other. I have heard him make statements that are so absurd that even his own members come and apologize for them. Because when you tamper with the Holy Ghost, you're tampering with God. Fort Worth, Texas, one huge church there. Oral Roberts went to that city, I don't know, 30 years ago to preach a revival meeting, stretched a big tent. This preacher that had the largest church in the city, he got on radio and he spoke evil of that evangelist. He said hard things. He made all manner of fun. He made the statement, if this is of God, then I'm crazy. That world-renowned preacher lost his mind and spent the last few years of his life staggering around that church in a daze. You would see him stumbling hour after hour, mumbling, dragging his leg behind him, his mind totally gone, as he would walk around that church over and over and over and over again. You don't tamper with the things that are of God. You don't speak evil of the Holy Ghost. You don't do that, mister, if you don't understand it. Just keep your mouth shut. You're playing with God. You're playing with His power. You're playing with His anointing. You hear what I'm talking about? And that huge church in Fort Worth, Texas, seating over 2,000 people, went to nothing. It went to nothing. I mean that the people scattered and left over a period of some time. And today, that church is filled with thousands of people that are worshiping Jesus according to His precious blood and being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. God turned it completely around. This is what is happening. The source is the throne. The source is the altar. Now I want you to look at the course of the river. Ezekiel 47. Let's read verse 1 again. Afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. The course is under the threshold. Strange place. The course, the direction that it flows, it's from under the threshold. You know what a threshold is. When you men carried your wives over the threshold when you first married them. You remember that, fellas? You don't? Okay. The threshold is down low. It's the little thing. It runs across the door. It's down here. And the Holy Ghost had a reason for saying those words. He was not filling up space, or they are not just idle chatter. He had a definite spiritual reason for saying that the waters issued out from the threshold down here. It's because to receive the power of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to get down low. Get your lip down low. You see, this is the problem with religion. This is the problem with the church. It's pride. Religious pride. Now, are you hearing me? Religious pride. Bless God, I would never do that. Well, you'll never get the greatest gift God ever gave a Christian. Because you're going to have to get rid of your pride. You're going to have to get rid of your old swell head. You're going to have to get rid of your religion. I would never raise my hands and say, pray. My mama said that. I would never do such a thing as that. But brother, don't you tell God what you won't do. You're going to take a crash course in it. The pride has got to go. You've got to get so hungry for the Holy Spirit and so desirous, because this is holy in the sight of God. This is holy in His sight. And the threshold is down at the very bottom, and you got to get on your knees to get the water. You got to get on your knees and get your lip down, right down low, to where you don't care what people think about you. Oh, what would folk think if they realized that I was here today? It's some of you may say.
What would they say? Would they say, I'm getting in that Pentecostal stuff? Would they laugh at me and say, hey, you're getting that holy roller religion? What would they say? How would it affect you? Would you just draw all up and say, I don't want anybody to know? Or would you say, well, bless God, I don't care what people say. I want what Jesus has in my heart. I want it to fill my soul and thrill my very being because I love him with all of my heart. The course is from under the threshold.
Now let's look at the force of it. The Bible said, and when the man that had the line in his hand, verse 3, went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. The force of it will get to your ankles. It'll change your direction. Places you used to go, you won't go anymore. Things you used to become involved in, you don't become involved in it anymore. Some years ago, I had some people to talk me into going to a professional football game. Oh, Brother Swaggart, are you going to preach against football now? And I like my football. I don't care what you do. Put a football in your milk if you want to. I don't care. Have at it. But I went. And I sat there, and all around me, they were swilling more beer than they do in 100 taverns. I mean, it was rolling like water, and they were cursing and telling dirty jokes and filthy profanity. And I said, I just got up and left. It's not that I couldn't stand it. I'm a mature Christian. I've known God for a long time. Me and the Holy Ghost could have gritted our teeth and stuck through it. But I didn't want to do that, you see. I consider that I'm cleaner than that. Somebody said, well, you mean to say it's a sin to hear somebody curse when you can't help it? I didn't say that. No, you're forced to be in enough of this stuff because you're in the world. But when you place yourself of the world and you buy a ticket to go in and listen to it, I don't understand it, mister. I hadn't been back, not going back. I'm not fighting football, nothing wrong with football, but I'd rather be with a better crowd than that. Praise God, if I'm going to be with somebody drunk, I want them drunk on new wine, full of the Holy Ghost and the power and the Spirit of the Lord. Your ankles get changed. Your ankles get changed. Oh, I'm not talking about physical ankles. I'm talking about spiritually. Let me read a little more. Again, he measured 1,000. Verse 4, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. That's your strength, your knee is. The first thing that happened to Mr. Muhammad Ali, maybe the greatest fighter that ever lived, his knees went. He still had the powerful physique. He had a hand, a blow that would knock you for a somersault 6 ways to Sunday, but his knees went. They turned to jelly. That's the source of your strength, your knees. But the Bible said the waters were to the knees. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, your prayer life's going to change at your knees. Oh, hallelujah to God. Whereas you used to get up in church and somebody'd pray and pray and pray, and others sit there and, well, thank God, you're going to realize you're not praying for man to hear you, you're praying for God, and everybody's going to start praying in one accord and worshiping the Lord Jesus. No, it's nothing wrong for anybody to lead in prayer, but nothing wrong for everyone to pray together in concert fashion. Then the Bible said, afterward he measured 1,000, brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. That's your creative power, the loins. Thank God you'll learn how to live. Your whole life will be changed. You will literally bring souls into the kingdom. And I don't mean just win proselytes, but I mean people will get saved as you talk to them about Jesus, and their lives will get changed. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? I get a little bit tired, and don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Somebody said, well, we won 14 people to the Lord last night. Baloney. Does that mean I'm not supposed to knock on doors and ask people to come? Oh, yes, 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 yes. But everybody that moves their mouth and nods their head didn't get saved. When my family came into this great baptism in the Holy Spirit, when they got in the river of God, I sort of relate to some of you that are opposed
to what I'm talking about because my parents were. They were opposed to it. I was a little old tow-headed boy, 8 years old. My mom and daddy were saved. They were just as saved as angels, but they didn't believe in this. But my grandmother, on my grandmother on my daddy's side, she got hungry for more than what she had. Have you ever just thought way down deep inside, you wouldn't dare let anybody know it, but way down deep, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than just going to church on Sunday. You know what's going to happen before you get there. They don't have to hand out the little sheet of paper at the door. You know you've been going and the same thing happens. Every single week, they get up and lead in prayer. They don't miss it by a second. You can set your watch by it. They take up the offering. Then a lady gets up and sings Bach. And you sit there and you nod. And a preacher gets up and gives a book report. I flicked on a television set the other Sunday morning, getting ready for church, had my shirt on, and it was one of those old moaning church services. I mean moan, just moan and moan and moan. I'm going to make a little fun now. I'm going to be sarcastic. The preacher was preaching, "Dearly beloved." Oh, God. He moaned on like that for 20 minutes, and I looked out the pan, the cameras over the congregation, and he ought not to have done it. Folk were asleep all over the place. Big church! You say you ought not make fun of God's house. That's not God's house. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. All of a sudden, he said, "I'm going to give you a piece of advice that will help you." I stopped. I thought, well, maybe he'll say something. He hadn't said anything yet. Maybe he'll say something. Maybe he will. Now you listen to me. He said, "If you will do this every morning, it will bless you." I thought, well, he's going to tell them to read Psalms. He's going to talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Maybe he'll get over into the epistles. Maybe he'll talk about praying, having a time of waiting on God. But no. You know what the turkey said? He said, "Every morning, if you will read Little Orphan Annie." That's right. That's right. Little Orphan Annie and Dick Tracy. I thought, oh, God. "And don't forget Sad Sack," he said. I thought, Lord, help us. Help us. It would be fun if it wasn't so sad. Those deacons, if you could have got them awake, they ought to got him and put him out the back of the place. You say, "Preacher, you're preaching hard." Yes, I am, but that stuff is not of God. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. People are not saved in it. Lives are not changed in it. My God, help us. We need more than dead preachers. We need more than former education. We need something that'll set the drunkard free, that'll make the prostitute pure and the harlot holy, and only the power of the Holy Ghost can do it. My grandmama got hungry for more than she had. I had a world-famed Major League Baseball player standing in my living room. Played with the Detroit Tigers when they won a World Series. He said, "Brother Swaggart," he belonged to one of the big churches uptown. He said, "Brother Swaggart," he said, "I'd gotten so sick of it. Same old thing, same old thing, same old thing, week after week." He said, "I thought to myself, God," and he said, "I prayed and cried, if this is all it is to it, I'm going to quit, close my Bible, go home." Because the only difference in us and the people out there that never darken the door of a church is that we waste an hour on Sunday morning and they don't. We go to the same bars, the same saloons, the same discos, the same nightclubs, the same hell holes, tell the same dirty jokes. But he said, "I asked God for more, and Jesus filled me with the Holy Ghost." Praise the Lord. My grandmother went to a camp meeting, and the Lord filled her. I mean, filled her gloriously. She came back, and she was on fire for God. Oh, she was miraculously changed, and it was my daddy's mama, but it made my daddy so mad. Made my mama so mad. And isn't that something? They were all Christians, and here's one Christian glad, and the other's mad. I'd go up every day. It was in the summer. not in school. And I'd go up every day because, brother, my grandmama, oh, I would go up and have her tell me how Jesus filled her with the Holy Spirit. I can still see that little old house now. I'd go in and I'd say, Nanny, I was 8 years old, and I'd tug her dress tail, tell me how Jesus filled you with the Holy Ghost. And I can hear her laugh, and she would smile and sit down, and I would sit at the floor at her feet, and she would tell me how that Jesus filled her with the Spirit, and I would sit there and brace myself. Because I knew when she got to that spot where the power of God filled and she started speaking in other tongues, the power of God would hit her and it'd roll over on me. I knew it. I'd sit there and brace myself for it. I'd go back up there at noon. I'd go back in the afternoon 2 and 3 times every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'd go up there and I'd say, Manny, tell me how God filled you with the Holy Ghost. She'd tell me the same story over and over again. I'd sit there and literally tremble. One morning I was dancing out the front door going to Nana's. My daddy caught me right here. He said, boy, where you going? I said, well, he said, you're going up to Mama's, aren't you? I said, well, he said, she's filling your head full of that stuff, isn't she? He said, she's gone crazy over religion. If you go back up there, I'm going to whip you. And boy, when my daddy said he was going to whip me, he meant it. He meant it. He never read Spock. As soon as he got back in the house, I tore out up there. There started revival in our church. Preacher started preaching the power of God, and God started blessing. People started coming. Lives started being changed. Folk filled with the Spirit. Sick bodies healed. Made my mom and daddy so mad. They wanted it for them all. They wanted it to be so-so. Don't you dare get up and shout. My, that would be horrendous. We are prominent people in the community. What will folk think? When they get sober enough, they may want what you have. Come on, wake up, saints. Wake up. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit here in a second. Just hold on. And the pastor said, we're going another week. My mother and my dad said, Lord, I can't stand it. I can't go back and look at that preacher. He gets right in the middle of his sermon and starts crying. But all of a sudden, my mother saw something that she did not have in that preacher's life. My mother and dad saw something that they knew was different than what they had. And my mother and dad got hungry for the Holy Spirit. She had made her brags and boasts, I would never shout. I heard her. I was a kid, but I remember it, and I heard her. You wouldn't catch me doing that. I wouldn't do it for $1 million. Get loud. I would never do such a terrible thing as that. In church, that's horrible. It was one morning early. Prayer meeting was going on. I had a bunch of little old buddy boys I was playing with about 8 or 9 blocks away from the church. It was about 10 o'clock that morning. Jerry Lee Lewis was with me. We were both little old kids. Another little boy named Max Stone, his brother named Huey Stone. When all of a sudden, Jerry Lee stopped. Max said, did you hear that? Huey said, it's a car wreck. It was my mama hollering. What it was.
Oh! My mama! I didn't know what. I remembered I was so embarrassed. I didn't know what had happened. I knew mama was at prayer meeting. You say, how do you know it was your mama? She'd hollered at me enough. I knew it was mama. I knew it was mama. I thought, Lord. And Jerry Lee said, let's go. Let's go see where the wreck is. I said, no, don't go, don't go, don't go, because they'll have it dragged off by the time we get there. But it was my mama. It was my mama. She was starchy with pride. Old, thick, crusty pride. Know what I'm talking about? But thank God that morning she got her lip down at the threshold where the river was flowing. And my mama ran all around that church. I heard her 8 blocks away.
There was one old man in that church. He was a blind man. My mama didn't like him. She didn't want to get anywhere around him. She couldn't stand him. And when she came to herself, she was speaking in tongues with her arms around him, dancing all around him in that church that morning. Glory! You say, preacher, I got to do those things to be filled with the Spirit. No, 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 no. Got nothing to do with being filled with the Holy Ghost. But don't you tell God what you won't do. Don't make your brags and your boast. I won't do it. There'll come an hour you'll wish you could do it. Filled with the Spirit. When my old grandpapa died, 86 years young, he called all the family together. Jerry Lee's mama was there. Aunt Viola was there. Uncle Henry was there. Uncle George was there. My mama was there. And that old man had never accepted Jesus. My mama had cried and wept over him and prayed and wept and sobbed and fasted for him, but he'd never accepted the Lord. And that early morning, and the doctor said he has just a short few minutes left. He was lucid to the last. He told my mama to come to the bed, and she got his old gnarled hand in hers. He always called her sister. She was a baby of the family. And he said, sister, I've watched you now for many years. And your papa's going. And I want you to pray for me because I want what you have. And my mama prayed for him. And a few moments later, that old gentleman looked up. And I can't explain it all. But he said, I see stairs that are leading to heaven and the angels are on it all the way. I hear them singing, I hear them singing, and he died saying, I hear them singing, I hear them singing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the tabernacles of the Most High. Would you bow your heads, please?